in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving higher.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast number 189. This week, my guest is George Russell, and this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by Dawson Tire and Wheel, your premier ag tire and wheel provider in North America, helping people grow. Tractor Zoom delivering insights and dry shod boots, the official work boot of the Moving Iron Podcast. George, how are you doing today?
Casey, I'm wonderful.
Good deal, man.
Things are going real well.
That's good. That's good. Well, George, why don't you, before we get too far down the road here, what we're going to talk about today, which is one of my favorite subjects, we're going to talk about the washout cycle and kind of what that looks like. But George, why don't you tell people who you are and the company you're with and what you're doing?
Casey, I'm the managing member of the Machinery Advisors Consortium. We've been in existence for well over 10 years, and we are a group of advisors and coaches to equipment dealers. Our tagline is coaching dealers to peak performance as a group of professionals. And I've had an experience I've been in the machinery business almost all my life, starting when my dad was a John Deere dealership. And first tractor I drove was a John Deere A when I was 5 years old, because with a hand clutch, I could handle it as a 5 year old. And I started working for machinery companies after college, International Harvester, Case, IH, CNH. I left CNH in 2006 at the vice president level of sales and marketing, and I've been working with dealers ever since. And I had a previous time when I had my own dealership for a little bit, selling computers to farmers here in Vermont, where we have an eighth generation farm. I am fulfilled today by working with a group of professionals and helping dealers improve. I have several dealer groups in the ag business and some in the construction equipment business. Some dealers would know me from the Big Dealer Report that is now in its 10th year. And the reason that I started doing that was to identify, as the consolidation was happening in our business, some of the dynamics with consolidation and some of the needs as dealers grow to help improve their businesses, which, of course, ties back to the advising and the coaching that we do at MAC. I'm real interested in this subject about used equipment business because I believe it's fundamental. This recent Dealership Mind Summit, leading a panel on used equipment and the washout cycle, I posed the question that, is this a used equipment business? If we looked at things through that business, would that help us look at the total business? So I'm lots of folks know me in the business, lots of people don't, and looking forward to, you know, getting to know you better, Casey, and offering some value here.
No, man, I'm looking forward to it, George. And I was listening to your Dealer Mind Summit roundtable there. John Hawkins is a good friend of mine. He's on there, and anytime I get a chance to listen to what he has to say, I make sure I chime in for that, because quite frankly, John is a smart fellow, and I enjoy visiting with him. But so it was a lot of good information came out of that roundtable.
Yeah, it was great to get to know you. You've established such a good name in this business with used equipment that Kim Schmidt at Lessiter's suggested I reach out to you, and I've always wanted to pick up the phone and talk to you. And it's great to have established that. And thank you for suggesting John and some other people. That was real helpful.
Well, I appreciate that, man. And it was that whole Dealer Mind Summit was a lot of good stuff coming out of that. Too bad the networking aspect of it that I like so much, we had to skip because of the COVID-19 crisis that we're in right now. But the rest of the information that came for that was pretty well. And, you know, as we talk about that, these online Zoom type, Skype type meetings are gaining some foothold in the industry that I think a lot of people thought they would never be able to do. But lo and behold, it's taken a good foothold, and I think people are actually using it now and becoming more reliant on it as the months go forward.
No question. The dealer groups that I lead right now, when we first started out with COVID in, you know, mid to late March, and we started every month on these, well, no more than an hour, and people actually had some trepidation about it, whether or not it'd be worthwhile and whether they can handle it, but it's exceeding people's expectations, this medium, in terms of being able to do this, and now we're on a cadence of every month, and we're getting really focused, and people are getting more used to it, and it's a different way of doing business, but it may be a part of our business going forward, if not the way to connect. It reduces what I call the tyranny of distance. We can get together right now without having to drive a long ways.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, all right. So let's talk about the washout cycle. It's my I got two topics in this business that I love to talk about. One is autonomy and automation and what that looks like in the future and how soon are we going to have drone cars and tractors and sprayers and all that fun stuff running around the outside. And the other side of that is the washout cycle. And to me, that is, somebody asked me the other day, like, how would you describe the washout cycle in your business? And I say, it's your best friend that never lies to you. And no matter how, dismal the truth is, it's always going to tell you the truth, and you can listen to it or not, but trust me, it's right. So, when you look at the washout cycle and the dealers that you work with and the OEM that you work with and those kind of things, when you step back and take a look at it, how would you best describe to somebody what the washout cycle is?
Well, before we get there, I think it's important to, in my experience, to know that a lot of people don't know what the washout cycle is and don't know its significance. I am surprised by that, and it's spotty. Going around the continent, all over, there are places where there are sales reps being paid because of the washout cycle. So that, of course, in those dealers is fundamental, that they don't get their entire pay until the deal washes out. But there are other places where people don't know what the washout cycle is, and they've actually got a report within their dealer business system. And when we start talking about it, I say, pull up your washout report. Let's go through that, and we'll explain it. And because they've never done it before, so I think that in that context, that there is a need that you are fulfilling in terms of helping people to understand what it is and why it's important.
Well, thank you.
So
I think,
and I mean that.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. To me, I'm right there with you. Washout cycle is the one thing you can pull all the reports you want to and graph this and pie chart that and everything else. But if you truly understand what it means to wash something out and what that entire process looks like, there's nothing that it can't tell you, right? It can tell you customers that are going to buy that stuff, how often those used customers are coming back to the table. It'll tell you whose stuff sells the fastest and whose stuff sells the slowest. There's a preconceived notion I think a lot of folks have that, you know, if we do this with this customer, then we got to do this with that. And there's this idea of stretching this out along the washout cycle to speed things up or slow things down and those kind of things. And I think it is such an intrinsic amount of information that comes out of that you can, from a whole goods side of the equation, there's so much there that you can absolutely step back and say, I know what I'm gonna do this year. I know based on the variable of how much new I'm gonna sell, what my perception of new I'm gonna sell is, what's the back end pressure look like? And yep. I'm not one of those people that sit here and say that selling new is evil, because it's not. You have to sell new, because especially in working with dealers, you see this all the time. The strongest dealer groups are the ones that have the largest parts and service business, which is the machine population they put out there, and that no one makes used equipment anymore. So they have to sell a new one to make that thing come used. So it shows that whole picture for you too. Even the washout even goes to the parts and service side of the business.
Yeah. So there's absolutely that connection, and that John Hawkins helped out at the Dealership Mind Summit made a distinction, which was real excellent, between the washout cycle and the new to use cascade, which is a term that I use in this good to great dealership flywheel. That transactional nature of the washout analysis which is say, you know, how sell the new, you got to sell the new, like you say, and then it has to cascades all the way down to use your term, no cash trades. At, you know, when you get to that point, that is a, something that's transactional to that deal. And that's, to me, the important thing to help communicate to someone that doesn't know and appreciate the value is that, yeah, I think I'm making good money on the new, but unless I understand what I've got tied up in the used and how many trades it takes to ultimately get my cash out of this deal that I paid, and so I'm actually making money, there's a time dimension that there is a assets that are tied up and not being used to something else. That is its value in terms of what's the value on this deal, this new equipment deal.
Yep.
And with the issue that I often encounter is that many sales reps and some sales managers, dealer principals are so focused on the new equipment, market share reasons, or just because we all like machinery, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Right.
They get too focused on the new and not enough in terms of the used equipment. So you absolutely have to have the new, get the population out there, and then take advantage of it, and then make and know whether or not you're making money on that first deal or not. The implication, though, that you're talking about how that then leads to the parts and service business and absorption and how important that is also part of the explanation about why it's important. It also helps understand to explain the concept in that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for, as the transactions made in the second trade, third trade, fourth trade, is what is the implications to the parts and service business in the transaction, as well as the machines operating in the field and breaking down.
Yep.
You know, the reconditioning expense and all that connection to the parts and service departments as well. So
yep.
In the explanation that I do about washout, I start with, are you making money on the first deal, and how do you know until you've washed it out? But what are the other steps along the way, and explain why that's important too?
Yep. No, I think that's the one thing too that I would echo there. When you step back and look at sales planning, right? So I do this with mine. I'll step back and we'll look and say, okay, we know how many combines we've gotten. I always use combines because we have so many combines, but it's combines are something we take a look at, and looking at see what we have in inventory, I start going through those machines based on kind of the year range or hour range or something along those lines, and start trying to decipher how many more used combines I'm going to be putting back into my area, or what am I going to be doing with them? You know, am I taking them? Do I need to auction a few? Do I need to wholesale a few out? Do I need to, you know, look outside of our area of responsibility to move some of these things? And I can start painting a picture of what's possible in my area, you know. And then some of the sales things that we run into is the overwhelming majority of the sales guys you talk to feel like they're every person that they need to talk to in the territory, they've got them covered, right? Everybody's good. And you start kind of going through their call lists and looking at customers out there and when they've called on things and EDA data and these different stuff, you realize pretty quick that not everybody's getting called on. And now you have an ability to take some a used piece of equipment out to that person now and see if you can't push that, you know, that timeline a little sooner and decrease that cost to hold and what that looks like. The other thing too about the washout that I've noticed that I've really seen is that it speeds up and slows down. Until I really started paying attention to the time frame, there's a certain time frame in there for each of the step down or the cascade down that you look at, and it's not necessarily the first one that's the most expensive. It might be the third or fourth one down the line, just because you're starting to run into actual number of customers that are looking to buy that piece of equipment. And in today's world, 12, 13, and 14 model machines kind of make up that base of the washout cycle. And there's not a lot of people looking to buy those just because of how the trade cycles worked over the last 5 to 7 years, depending on how long they've had that piece of equipment. And we're starting to see that's where the slowdown's at. So how what are we doing to move that through the washout cycle? What customers are we looking at there, and starting to make a plan better now that we've kind of isolated where the bottleneck is in the washout cycle to get to that cash no trade?
Yep. So I actually have an example I use in the coaching programs I have with dealers, and it's based on an actual dealer's washout report. It's for a combine, and you can appreciate this. The report started in December, so the combine came in after the season. It was the next year's model combine, and there were three trades done before the end of December. So it came in early December, got PDI'd, second trade, third trade. So what does that tell you? The guy did a pre-sell of the used. He knew where that new buyer's machine was going, so he could turn it around real fast and get to that third trade. The next trade guy was, which was now the third used piece, was in March, and then the next one was the next August. So he had washed out within a year, and there were different years combines, you know, because combines are, you know, known by their years and their season of use, and you could see step down in the age of and model numbers that there were different buyers for the older machines, you know, the ones that are 8-10 years old. That's a different buyer. Do you know who they are? And lots of folks don't. Lots of people are focusing on that new buyer, first trade, second trade, may not know where the third and fourth trade is going. And that has a lot of implications for your marketing program, especially knowing who all the people are in your area. And so that, you know, that leads to driving some of the things that you need to be doing as a dealership. One of the best practices is a sales blitz. You flood the zone in terms of one dealer's trade area, and all the reps in the dealership for a week, they spend all their time going down every road, every lane in that one drip reps area to make sure they're calling on all the people in that area. And invariably, inevitably, every time people say, either from the sales rep side, there were people there and opportunities I didn't realize existed just because I never called on that guy. Or you have a customer that says, you know, nobody from your dealership has called on me in 15 years. And this is the first time anybody's ever come there. And typically those are those third and fourth buyers.
Yep.
So this whole idea of the washout analysis and understanding what you just talked about, the timing of different deals, drives your strategy in terms of marketing and sales.
Yep. So I've done some real basic kind of stuff for some illustrations for a few speeches I've put together. And typically, from what I've talked with other dealers and myself and those kind of things, but typically a combine is about a 9-month, anywhere from 6 to 9 months to hold that machine before you sell it. And unless you have like your example where the guy had a pretty good plan in place that he knew where stuff was going to go. If you're just trading for it and then waiting, kind of cultivating it and see what happened, it's usually 6 to 9 months. And I ran through that and did some different calculations. And if you sold 50 new combines, it was going to cost you, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was several million dollars worth of holding costs. Not necessarily cost of money, but, you know, depreciation and lot rot and those kind of things that all play into that. And it's a significant amount of money that comes into play. And I think when you look at used equipment and how you price things, you have to take account cost of money in what your quote unquote margin expectation is going to be. And once you figure that in and what that looks like in today's marketplace, you could spend $1,500 to $2,000 pretty easy every month on just interest holding costs on the price of some of these used pieces of equipment. So if you put $10,000 worth of margin in there and it costs you $1,500 a month to keep a piece in there, it doesn't take too long for your $10,000 to go away pretty quick when you actually go out and sell it. And I think that is one of the biggest misconceptions about the equipment business and how to use that washout cycle when it comes to pricing. Or I don't know if you can price and use equipment, it's not right, but what your margin expectation should be.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You and I had a conversation as a result of that dealership mind summits about what you factor in for the cost of money. You know, and that could be a half percent a month, but there are lots of other costs as well, and that are, you know, lot rot, moving stuff around, inventorying it. There's also because cash is king in our business. Mm-hmm. Where else can I use cash that's tied up in that used and use it somewhere else? And I like to use the example in the parts business because it's a little easier, but it makes the point on used equipment as well. If you're trying to get, let's just say, a 35% parts margin, that's pretty healthy, but just to do cowboy math, if you're going to, and I ask parts managers this, for every, if you've got a $100 part on the shelf and it's going to sit there for 1 month, what's the cost of that part sitting on the shelf, $100 part? And people ask different, throw out different numbers. But it comes down to, it's 2% a month for that part sitting on the shelf. And that means for a year, that's 24%.
Right.
That means if you've got a 35% margin expectation by part, if that part's going to sit there a year, you're only going to make 25%.
Right.
The same thing can apply to unused equipment. And I think that, there's the cost of money for sure, and money's pretty cheap right now, but there are a lot of other costs. And I think it from mindset, it'd be better to figure 2% a month on that used piece and multiply that and factor that into your pricing.
Yep. No, I think you're exactly right. When you look at when I look at margins and what our expectations are, that's the top of mind thing for me, is how long are we going to keep this piece here? And going back to what I said earlier about seeing where the speed up and the slowdown is in the washout cycle, makes a big difference in how we price that machine. Another thing too is taking into consideration what the machine is when it comes to reconditioning. And I've kind of throw this ABCD kind of approach to used equipment classification when it comes in and what needs what when, because especially when you're talking about combines, some of these older combines that are 8-9 years old, you can start on one end and go all the way through it to the other end, and you can make it a brand new combine. But at the end of the day, do you really need to do that to sell the piece? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. The person buying that's going to do a lot of their own work. You can sell those with, I'm going to give you X number of dollars worth of parts and service business that you can kind of like a gift card approach and kind of what you're going to do there. So that to me, washout cycle tells me all that stuff. And I'm more concerned about how long it's going to take me to hold it than whether it's not, as long as I do the proper evaluation of from the shop as far as what the equipment needs to go back to the field next, I feel like you can negotiate around that pretty well and focus on your cost to hold more than I got to spend $20,000 on a combine to go sell it, which I don't know that's necessarily true.
Yeah, in fact, I think I've heard dealers say this, that one of the things for those older machines, they'll actually they won't commit to recondition it, but they will get a good evaluation from their service department what it'll take to either make it through the next season, mm-hmm. or last several seasons, and they'll actually put that quote with the machine.
Yeah,
and that's part of the Dickerin process with the customers. Says you can either take this and do this work yourself, and here's the type of things we think it needs, or we'll bring it into our shop if you want, if you buy it, and we'll fix it up, and here's the price tag, and that's figured into the deal. So you leave the option to the customer, but you don't put your money into it until at that point.
Yep.
You leave it up to the customer.
Yep, I totally agree with that philosophy. That's that philosophy makes most sense. Now, the other object of that is a lot of folks don't wait. Or wait till the last minute to come in and buy something, and you make sure you got to have some stuff set in place. But I think from a dealership perspective and working with the customers that you're calling on and those kind of things, you should be able to kind of get those things fixed through the shop as you need to get them fixed if you have a good plan in place for the piece of equipment that you're looking at on your lot and what that looks like. So I think there's said it a million times, the washout cycle will tell you everything that you want to know, good, bad, and ugly. So if you just pay attention to what's going on there, you'll learn a lot about your business and your customers as well.
Let me ask you a question, going right back to the your starting of this. You asked me about the explanation of the washout cycle, and I kind of took it to, there's a lot of folks that either don't know it or don't appreciate what it can do for them. And you've obviously really made a good effort to explain this. What is, why, from your standpoint, don't more people appreciate what it washout is and its value? What is the root cause of people not really using this?
I think it's more of just an understanding of really understanding what it is. I don't know that I think everybody, if I went and asked somebody, you know, if you sold 50 new combines, how many used combines did you get from that? I feel like most people would come back with a number. You know, they're going to come back, you know, 400 or, you know, 100 or whatever the number is they come back with. I don't know where they get that number out from most of the time, and I don't know that they know where they get that number at either. But when you step back and really start to analyze what's going on, in today's world, with the way the dealerships have consolidated, there becomes a point in time when you need to have someone in there that is actually managing just the everyday ebbs and flows of the used equipment business and also your inventory and what that looks like. I think if you're a sales manager and the used equipment manager, your day to day is making deals happen and not, you just don't have time to sit back and analyze what's going on in the washout cycle or trends that you see developing in your inventories or those kind of things. I think it's just the biggest drawback might just be the person that just focuses on that. I stumbled upon it because that was my job for the longest time. Was I was an internet sales guy for a long time, then I took another position. And when I got to that position, my job was to manage the used equipment and manage the inventory and manage what we had going on as far as the overarching kind of umbrella of what we have as far as our used equipment goes. And that's when I started to discover what the washout cycle was and truly understanding what was going on there. And I don't think it's anything because people just don't know what it is. I think it's more of a just having that person that can focus on it and understand and spend the time to research it and grow it. Because when I print that thing out of PFW, that's our business system. It is, I bet it's a ream, it's half a ream of paper, and you can't dump it into Excel. You can't. I mean, maybe you can. I haven't figured out how to do it yet. But I got to go through each individual piece of paper and look at what's going on, do the calculations with a little calculator in hand, and kind of see what's happening there. But it's a very manual process, and it's a very time consuming process. And if you're focused on making deals happen and making trades happen and working with sales guys and those kind of things, you probably just don't have time to do it. And I think that to me is probably the biggest reason why it's taken. That's why we're seeing this big surge in this industry right now of getting the used equipment manager and doing that, moving that focus into that position.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we've been talking a lot about combines and big dealers.
Yeah.
I actually think there's lots of value with smaller dealers and other pieces of equipment like tractors to actually look at that as well, because the combines with the seasonal nature of it and the roll programs and other things, you know, there's a lot of dollars tied up in that, and so you have to get there. But I think there are value in other deals that people don't appreciate. And so I think helping taking a report, if it's in your business system, or conceptually pulling some numbers out, if it's manual, to actually walk through a deal. And if it's a new tractor that's sold, but you get some other traits and the guy's taking in a grinder mixer or a Brilliant or something else that's part of that trade in down right there, and they realize what they've got tied up in. They sometimes don't realize all those other things that get traded in that the second or third buyers have, and that's part of that deal as well. So it's important and vital in combines, but it's as important to understand for other machines as well where you've got it tied up when you actually wash out of a deal.
Yep.
And I think the reports, the business systems are getting smarter and smarter to help you do that. And again, there's lots of people that don't realize they have that report. And I've really liked to see the lights come on when you have a guy pull out one of his reports and you say, just give me a deal that you've done in the last 6 months. Let's walk you through that and see where you stand on it right now. And that's instructive to do. I also think that helping a sales manager educate his sales reps on that as well. It's an educational process, which is why your podcast is important and some of the graphs you have. But helping a sales rep understand the washout cycle as well, because then they'll go figure out how to do the third or fourth one, provided you've educated them in and you've got a compensation system. And I guess that's another thing that I see there in some places. There's a holdback until the deal is truly washed out, and that helps focus the sales rep's attention when they're not getting their full commission until that's done. So I think those are ways people ought to look at this to help the educational and, you know, the money talks there to get people's attention.
Yep. Yeah. I'm when it comes to holdbacks, I'm not the biggest fan of them, but I think it's an accountability thing. And I think if you hold people accountable to what they're doing, especially when it comes to the sales side of it, if you can't think of three or four people that you're going to go talk to about that piece of equipment, or even one for that matter, and have a really good reason why you're going to talk to him, I don't know why you're trading for it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's we're trying to figure out how you're going to book it in there so that you can have some time to set on it. You know, I think it's knowing that plan, what you're going to do. Again, back to the washout cycle, I can pull the washout cycle and I can look at every customer when they're buying, whose machine they're buying, and how often they're buying it, and when they're coming back in, how often they're coming back in, where they're coming back in, what hour range are they coming into, and I can start targeting customers just from that. And those are existing customers that I see, you know, that pattern year in and year out type of thing. And then you kind of go back in and start looking at your, you know, what customers are you calling on, what customers aren't you calling on. Next thing you know, you've got a pretty good sales plan put together and what that looks like. So I think there is a sales is one of those things that's, you know, it's a what have you done for me lately type of career. And you can go out and have a great month, and if your next 2 months are horrible, you're on the bubble, you know. So it's you got to keep the pipeline full and churning. And I think this is an easy way for people to, it's not easy to get there. It takes a lot of work to understand what's going on in your dealership based on those reports. But once you get there and understand it, you're really going to make the sales cycle pretty simple.
Yeah, that you use the word accountability, and I've got some dealer clients, and they're so frustrated because they've got used equipment that needs homes, and they just can't get the accountability for sales reps to focus on going selling that. The dealership needs to do that.
Yep.
Dealership needs to get the sold, and the guy that traded in has a huge accountability. But what other things? What other sales reps can help sell that piece of used equipment?
Yeah.
So there's some other approaches in a dealership that the education about washout can help dealers try to get some movement with one guy selling another guy's used, rather than a guy just selling, trading it in and then forgetting it and going on to the next piece.
Yeah, that's
lot rot.
Yeah, and that's when you start looking at the overarching, like how are you getting that information out to your guys? I mean, got 40 whatever many sales guys I've got, and, you know, one combine comes in and we get ready to go out and trade that, and, you know, hopefully there's 40 people looking at that trying to figure out who they can sell to, because they're all trying to, I mean, it's commission-based job, so they're trying to figure out how to make all that work. So it's a fun game back and forth for sure.
Yeah, this compensation on washed out is a lot more complicated, which a lot of folks don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd make it simple with the commission up front. So it's not for everyone, and if you're going to step into that, you got to think through the implications. But there are dealers that it's part of their culture, and they're successful at it.
Right on.
So there's a lesson there.
Yep, absolutely. Well, good stuff, George. I'm glad you came on the podcast. Give us a chance to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and talking with a guy like you that's been has a lot of different dealers that he works with and sees a lot of different things. It's a good perspective. So I appreciate you being on the podcast.
Glad to be here, and look forward to adding any value I can, Casey. Thank you so much.
If folks wanted to reach out to you and get some information about about what you're doing over there. What's the best way to people to do that?
So if you go to our website, machineryadvisors.org, machineryadvisors.org, you can see the other advisors within Mac, and you can see our contact information and the different variety of skills and value that we can bring to equipment dealers.
Right on. Well, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you being on the podcast. I'm Casey Seaman with Moving Iron Podcast. Make sure you check me out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to get all the latest podcasts when they drop. Also, check out movingironllc.com for all the latest blogs that I write. And check out Global Ag Network and all the great podcasters out there as well. So for George, I am Casey Seymour. Let's go move some iron, folks. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving